The word of God that engages us this morning is a section from the lesson just read, specifically Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. This is our text. And this is from 3rd Hesitations 14:37b. And it came to pass verily that she seemeth amongst and in the midst of the great tribulation. Then he saith unto her, Yea, and wouldest that thou whatever wilt shall be done according to who, what, whensoever, as Acropolis begotten of Zedapariah from the land beyond Pedomite cometh. Insomuch as the woman knew not the messenger, nor his wondrous companion shining all about the company, she remaineth silent, looking for the sign or the seal betwixt his eyes, and the whole of the congregation around the candlestick riseth with loud praiseulations according to the prophetic word. This is how Yahweh's word sounded to Habakkuk. Babylon had just defeated Egypt at the decisive battle at Carchemish in 605 BC. And now this Babylon, beastly, boisterous, and boastful Babylon, is knocking at Habakkuk's door. In chapter 1 of this 3-chapter prophecy, the prophet describes Babylon in these graphic words. They have horses that are swifter than leopards. They have horses that are fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. They are like vultures swooping down to devour. They are all bent on violence. Their hordes are like the desert sand, gathering prisoners like the dust. In the midst of all of this battle, everything from Yahweh sounds like 3rd Hesitations over and over again. This Babylon is attacking here among us right now. You see, John says that Babylon for the church age is the cipher and the symbol of everyone and everything that is out to destroy the baptized people of God. He says as much in Revelation 17:5. Babylon is the mother of prostitutions and of all the abominations on the earth. You see, Babylon for us is this world who appears like a shapely prostitute who is coaxing us with her constant come-ons and flaunting flirtations. Babylon for us is this present evil age that lures us into bowing low in front of full-length mirrors. Babylon is my own sinful flesh that seduces me, saying, you have a little anger floating around? Let it fly. You have some juicy gossip? Let it rip. You have some sexual fantasies? Ready, set, go. This army of lies and deceptions comes at us with horses that are swifter than leopards, that are fiercer than wolves at dusk. They come at us like a cavalry marching headlong, like vultures swooping down on their prey, bent on violence. This army comes like hordes, like the desert wind, gathering prisoners like sand. When we are in this battle, everything sounds like, and it came to pass, verily, that she was betwixt and between the great tribulation. It's 3rd Hesitations over and over again. Habakkuk, caught in the battle, describes his next move. I will take my stand. I will station myself. These are cohortatives, better understood. I will indeed take my stand. I will indeed station myself. You see, Habakkuk indeed wants a clear and concise word from Yahweh. And Yahweh says, write down the revelation and make it clear on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Make it clear. Va'er in Hebrew, it means either to make clear in terms of defining everything or making the message in large letters. Va'er is used only two more times in the Hebrew Bible, and instructive for us is Deuteronomy 27:8. Yahweh to Moses, make this Torah very clear, va'er, on the tablets you have set up, just as Moses made Torah very clear on tablets of stone, just so Habakkuk is called to make this new revelation crystal clear by writing it on tablets of stone. These lexical similarities invite us to compare the huge importance of Yahweh's Sinaitic revelation of Torah with that of Habakkuk's new revelation he is receiving in and around 605 BC. And what could be just as significant as Torah on Sinai? Habakkuk 2, verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. Oh, we know, don't we? We know this isn't a new revelation because we know from Genesis 15:6, actually, that Avram believed in Yahweh and it was credited to him as righteousness. We know Jeremiah is coming, Davidic king, and his name will be called Yahweh Tzidkenu. Yahweh is our righteousness. But now Habakkuk makes this revelation of righteousness even clearer still. What do those who are harassed and helpless against Babylon need the most? We need to know that we belong to Yahweh, not by might and not by power, but we stand before him righteous by faith. Write this revelation down. Make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. And run is what Habakkuk does. For the next two chapters, he runs in confident courage until he can finally say, in the face of Babylon's treachery, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and there's no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and there is no food in the fields, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet, more cohortatives, I will indeed rejoice in Yahweh. I will indeed be joyful in God my Savior. No third hesitations here. Indeed. 600 years later, this cry of faith was passed on to another runner, and this runner made the righteous revelation clearer still. Romans 1:17, for in the gospel, a righteousness is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Oh my, does Paul run? Paul runs through Romans with beautiful feet. And he makes this revelation that we belong to the Father, that we are justified and forgiven and cleansed. Paul makes this revelation the clearest it's ever been. Romans 3. For this righteousness comes from God and is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified, declared righteous by grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Romans 4, he was delivered over to death for our sins and raised again that you and I may be declared righteous. Romans 5, having been declared righteous, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of this righteous running because Yahweh's climactic revelation was not written in 15th century Hebrew by Moses. It wasn't written in 7th century Hebrew by Habakkuk. Oh, it was written on a tablet, all right, but this was written as a Roman death sentence in 1st century Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews, right there is where the Father says, he who had no sin became sin for us, so that in him, that is, in this crucified lamb, we might become the righteousness of God. And what does Paul do with that? He runs and runs and runs, and in his own words, he runs in such a way as to get the prize. He runs because this is the message that liberates people from guilt and bondage and shame in the battle against Babylon. And this message dispels all hesitation and gives such confident courage that Paul, in his own words, can say, just like Habakkuk, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No third hesitations here. In fact, no hesitation at all. Write down this revelation here. Learn how to make it plain so that you can leave here and you can run. Oh, and run we will. From Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and we will run with this revelation of righteousness to the ends of the earth. Look out, Babylon. Here we come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.